Hello and welcome back to the From the Nosebleeds podcast, season 2, episode 11. As always, I'm Thomas Pokornik, joined by Thomas Coburn, as well as producer Paula Gismondi via Zoom call. Coburn, what's going on?
Not much. What's going on in my life right now? I don't know. Busy. We're busy with school. That's basically taking up most of my time right now. But interesting game last night. I'll get into... quickly tease this for the show. I have a bet that has to do with the Rams that we'll let people know about later. But first, how was your weekend? Because that would be rude for me not to ask back.
Weekend was good in terms of just, you know, life-wise, but I had a real tough Sunday with football. Nothing seemed to go my way. I am now eliminated. We've been talking about our fantasy league all season. I haven't really sat down and crunched the numbers per se, but I think I'm eliminated from playoff contention. If that shuts you off from listening to this podcast, if you really want to listen to someone who can't make the playoffs in fantasy for the next hour, you know, I just want to say thank you. But it's been tough for me so far. But you know what? It's Thanksgiving this week, even though our Thanksgiving was over, was it now, a month ago?
Something like that.
American Thanksgiving is just so good just because of the Thursday football games. So I guess I'd say I'm excited about that.
Quickly, I'm also on the ropes in fantasy. I'm on the outside looking in now. I have to go 2-0. We have two games left in our regular season. Got to go 2-0 here. It's probably not going to happen.
Especially with Duke Johnson and
Duke.
Who's your other starting running back?
Kalen Ballage.
Kalen Ballage, ex-Dolphin.
My team.
I think I probably couldn't even play for the Dolphins.
My team, the bench is just as good as the starting lineup, and that's not a good thing.
Terrible.
And except for Deshaun Watson.
You just traded your best player to me too, Chase Claypool.
No, I have Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson.
All right, that's fair. That's fair. Talk about Thanksgiving. Firstly, I think if the Steelers Ravens, they've had some COVID concerns with that game already. The Ravens, both Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins, already both ruled out. They'll probably have other cases within the facility just that haven't been released. I don't think the game's going to get postponed, but if by chance it is moved to Sunday, we're being treated for Thanksgiving football, which I hold very close to my heart. We're being treated with Lions and Texans, two teams that aren't going to make the playoffs, and then Cowboys and the football team. So on that note, maybe the worst games ever in Thanksgiving football history.
I mean, listen, the Cowboys one has some appeal. It's, you know, it's for the division lead.
That's
the
true.
The Eagles aren't playing until Monday. Yeah. And they're playing the Seahawks.
Yeah, they're going to lose.
So they're not winning.
Just because we said that now, Wentz is going to win. Off, but yeah.
You know what? Quickly, I expect a big game from Wentz. He's been horrible, and he's got to have a good game or else nobody will believe in him anymore.
I already think people have really just jumped ship. I know you still believe in him.
Well, my confidence has wavered, to say the least, after the last game.
I guess part of me still sees him as that guy who I consider him the MVP that year. If he doesn't tear his ACL, you cannot tell me that he doesn't win the MVP that year. Like, I still see that in him, but it's just his fall off has been tremendous. Quickly, before we
tremendous.
Dive in. Not tremendous. It's been bad.
Tremendously bad.
Quickly, before we get into today's topics, a year ago at this time, we were, of course, back in the studio, but we also maybe did the best segment ever on the show, the Thanksgiving food draft, where we drafted our favorite Thanksgiving foods. Producer Paulo got involved as well. It was just
electric.
I want to ask you.
I remember that Paulo has disgusting taste in food, and this is great because he can't defend himself. He's not allowed to talk over Zoom, so he can't defend himself. I remember that he has disgusting taste in food, and what was the dish?
It was some marshmallow casserole. it's not even like, personally, I've never had the privilege of indulging in this food, and if I try it, you know, it could be the greatest thing ever.
It is popular.
I can't remember. I never heard of it before.
Me neither.
So I can't remember a bigger curveball in my life ever, because I think me and you started off with like mashed potatoes.
Turkey, like very standard here.
Yeah, maybe stuffing or something. But
yeah.
I think Like, Paulo, you could have picked up this casserole on the waiver wire. You didn't even need to draft it, but kudos to you.
We didn't even know it existed.
Exactly. Could have gotten it for free, but wasted a high draft pick on it. Anyways, last night's game, Rams and the Bucks. Surprised by the result?
No. Is this when I should reveal the bet? I think it's a good time.
I think first I want to, before you take credit from this amazing bet that was probably honestly fueled by me, because I've been tooting the horn of the Rams on this podcast since week one of the NFL season. I've been high on this Rams team. Again, I feel like every single week I say this, the Bucks, they kept getting primetime games this year. They've played four games. They're 1-3, should be 0-4. Every time I watch this team on a big stage, they're terrible.
It's so not Tom Brady, but maybe it is Tom Brady. Maybe that's who he is now. But I mean, yeah, it's if you can get pressure on him, the Bucks lose. I mean, like, that's what made them so effective against the Packers. They couldn't get pressure on him, and sure, then he's got no problem. But you saw yesterday just rushing throws to Fournette, and Fournette was dropping every single quick pass that he got. But you saw at the end of the game, the interception. It's just, it all starts with the pressure that the Rams were creating. And it wasn't even so much Aaron Donald last night. He wasn't a huge, he's always a big impact because of double teams and everything, but he himself was actually not getting to Brady as much as I thought and probably most people thought.
Oh, and you know what? You have to look at who they're playing. The Rams, if they don't have the best defense, like, I think it's Steelers right here and the Rams just might be below. And then there's a whole bunch of teams. Last week, we talked so much about that Bears defense.
The Colts.
Yeah, there's a couple teams there, but the Rams are a top five defense in the NFL. Like, they have a really solid unit, whether it's the secondary, the linebackers, they have some players there. But so I'm not expecting Brady to be able to just slice through them and chuck the ball down the field to Mike Evans for 10 catches, 200 yards and a touchdown. Like, that's realistically not going to happen. But they just really struggled. There were so many dump offs to Fournette. I felt like they were almost forcing the ball to him. Antonio Brown seemed to be getting the ball forced to him as well. And I think he ended up having 8 catches for something like 50 yards. So that just shows you how effective that was. Again, it's like they have so many weapons. They don't know exactly who to go to or what to do. And some weeks Ronald Jones is such a big part of that offense.
And then he's a non-factor like last night.
It's just, again, week in, week out, I don't know what I get with the Bucks, whereas the Rams are almost the exact opposite. Because Jared Goff's fairly consistent. Throw that game against Miami out the window. Miami had some big momentum plays, a defensive touchdown, a special teams touchdown. That game aside, this Rams team has really looked solid throughout the season, and they don't have a lot of holes. Their run game's great. Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods one guy swings one way, the other guy swings the other way. It's yards after catch. I just love their offense. McVay's a great coach. Now go for it. Let's hear this bet.
Okay, so I made it like at the end of last week. And I made a bet for them to win the Super Bowl. And the odds were plus 1,500. So, like, pretty good odds here. And I was like, I made the bet because I was looking at their schedule. And like you just mentioned, the Dolphins game, it's almost just a write-off. It's just like everything went wrong. They were sloppy. Miami.
Look at the Dolphins this weekend. Everything went wrong.
Yeah, Miami dominated them. But if you look at another one of their losses, if they do not play the worst first half of all time, they beat the Bills. They're better than the Bills. I truly believe that. And if they didn't come out and just completely lay an egg, they would have won that game. And their record would just look so much different and resonate with people. And they would probably be the favorites of the NFC. So I looked at that and I said, it was combined with that, the odds of what they were at. And I was like, okay, I have to take that. And it was partly because I knew if they beat the Bucks, their odds have moved up to plus 1,000. So 500 points, right? So it's like, I really like this team to come out of the NFC.
And there's not really been a team like right now in the NFC, the one seed is the Taysom Hill led Saints. And we'll get into to that later. I think, you know, Sean McVay, he might have to go to court or face some legal action for the robbery that he committed on Jameis Winston. But anyways,
Sean Payton.
Like it did I say Sean McVay?
Yeah.
Apologies, Sean Payton. So the Saints are the one seed right now. Yeah, they're a solid team, but
that might be the shakiest one seed ever.
Exactly. It's the Packers. You know, they have a great record as well. They can't stop the run. Their defense looks terrible. They just blew a big game against the Colts. Are you going to trust them? The Seahawks. It's Russell Wilson and a bunch of CFL players, honestly, at this point.
And the Rams have beaten them once already.
Exactly. Interesting thing to note about the Rams, though, is they have yet to play the Cardinals this season. They still meet twice. I think they meet again week 17. Yep. Like, this division is just going down to the wire. It's going to be so exciting to see. We saw the Seahawks beat the Cardinals on Thursday Night Football. But yeah, really, the Rams, they're not the best. Like, they don't have the best roster. They don't have the most talented roster. But they might be the most complete team out of everyone.
It's very interesting to see the progression from the Super Bowl Rams with Gurley, and it was like the high flying offense, to now it's just kind of like their offense is very just steady, pick you apart. They're not taking huge chunk plays here, and it's 10 yards to Robert Woods, it's 10 yards to Kupp, it's 5 yards to Higbee, it's whoever's running the ball, which I think they should give Akers the ball more.
They got him going.
They did. I think his role will continue to increase, and I really like what he can do in their backfield as kind of a more steady number one back. But even still, they have that trio. They can run whoever's going that night. And it's a really interesting offense. And by the way, offensive line for the Rams, like, tremendous job yesterday against the Buccaneers, and a lot of games this year. But just yesterday, it was like Goff had all day.
Yeah, they did. They've had their ups and downs throughout the year. And I think they lost Andrew Whitworth last week. And that is a big loss, but they did look to hold their own yesterday against a really, really good Bucs defense.
Their biggest weakness is probably Goff.
I think if Goff plays a consistent game every week, personally, I'm pretty high on Jared Goff. I don't think he's great, but I think he's good. He's not going to Mahomes his way to winning games. That's, I guess, a new term that I'm going to coin. But I think he's a really capable quarterback, and he knows the offense really well, and he excels in that McVay system. I wouldn't say he's their biggest weakness, but I guess that shows how well-balanced their roster really is. You mentioned how 2-3 years ago, when, you know, they were the top team in the NFC, it was because of that high-flying offense, and they get into, I think they beat the Chiefs the first year that Mahomes came on. I think they beat them like 51-46 or something.
Or either 54-51 or I don't know, something like that. Yeah.
It's like the Rams and the Seahawks switched places. When Russell Wilson first got on the Seahawks, it was that great defense. Not necessarily a conservative offense, but, you know, a run heavy, yards after catch, just pick up the first down kind of mentality. And now the Seahawks are that high flying team that gets in these shootouts every week. So I think it's going to be interesting to see going forward which team really emerges as the top team. But quickly, to put you on the spot, are you going to go with the Rams coming out of the NFC?
I have to, yeah. Who would I be not to? Make the bet and then say somebody. Yeah, I honestly, though, even like a bet aside, all joking aside too, I think they're the most complete team in the NFC right now, especially with Breeze out.
Yeah, and the Saints, they're just so hard to trust, especially now. They're doing what they did every year. Start off 1-2, go on a 7-game winning streak now, or 8 or 6-game winning streak. I think it's at 7 now, but, and then they
falter. They just run out of steam
in the playoffs, and someone's going to say it. They're going to say, you know what? Maybe this is the year that it's different. I personally am not going to be the person that says that, but I just don't remember a year where there's so many good teams in the NFC, because I honestly believe six of the seven teams that get into the playoffs. I forgot about how bad the NFC East is there for a second, but all these playoff teams are really, really good. Other than, it's going to be either the Giants, the football team, the Eagles, or the Cowboys. All four teams are back in it, which is exciting, but this is a really, like, they're all so close in the NFC, which is good to see.
Yeah, I mean, and also even if you're a Saints fan, it's like Taysom Hill, okay, he looked fine, but it's the Falcons. It's like, can you trust him going forward? They do. I think, who do they play this week? The Broncos?
I know they play the Falcons again next week, and Breeze will be back for that. Yeah, they play in Denver, which it's a hard place to play, but
I mean, if Taysom Hill does well there, it's a little bit more impressive, I would say.
But. Yeah, no. Let's get into Taysom Hill. Perfect segue. I personally think for Breeze's absence, he's a guy. He's going to win you the games. He's a running quarterback. He can get it done. It's still a surprise. We don't know exactly what we're going to get. But long-term success, if they hand the reins to this guy next year, it's just, personally, I'm not
fine. You can't do that.
As a thrower of the football.
And I think that option will be ruled out within the following weeks.
But look at his opponents. He's got Denver.
Yep.
Then he's got the Falcons again.
Yeah.
Breeze is eligible to be back after 3 weeks.
I don't think he will be.
Okay. So let's say he's not.
Let's say.
Then they play the Eagles. Then they play the Eagles.
Yeah.
Are you taking the other team to upset the Saints in any of those two? Any of those teams give you
confidence? I honestly think the only team that has it, the Falcons are at home, maybe. Julio was out in that game.
Just because it's divisional, I understand
then,
that they're at home.
And then Broncos, maybe.
Like, I can see the Broncos keeping it close. They're a tough team.
They're probably not going to win.
But I just watched the Dolphins play maybe the worst. Like, this is saying something because of how bad the Dolphins were last year. That's the worst game they've played since you got to go back to maybe like week 5, week 4 of last season. Like, they were just terrible. It was really, really hard to watch. And even then, they had the ball on the Broncos 20-yard line with 30 seconds left, a chance to tie it up, and Fitzmagic threw a pick in the end zone. The Saints are a more complete team than the Dolphins. They're a more experienced team than the Dolphins. I can't see them going in there and just completely laying an egg. Like, there are some veteran players on this team that know what it takes to go out and win on the road. So,
and one thing with the Saints, I think their defense is underrated.
Yeah, very, very. They're similar to the Rams, where they just have a lot of good players everywhere. And I think they have enough to carry their way to, we saw them go 5-0 last year with Teddy Bridgewater when Breeze was out. I think they can go 3-0 or 4-0. Their fifth game is against the Chiefs there. And I think they're hoping that Breeze is back, because I don't give them a shot with Taysom Hill, because to beat the Chiefs, you got to throw the football. You got to outgun Mahomes. And
They don't win if Taysom Hill's still there.
Yeah.
Jameis, maybe. Who knows? Getting a shootout there with Mahomes.
So if you didn't catch last week's episode, we spent, what would you say, 15 minutes?
Yeah, 15 probably.
Minutes talking about Jameis Winston and why we think he's going to be electric. I think the word must-see TV was thrown around maybe 20 times.
I think I said 30-point fantasy outing about at least twice.
And how many points did he get? Zero.
Zero.
It's just, again, who am I to dispute the decision when they went out and they won convincingly? But
just nobody's happy about it. No NFL's fan is happy about it. Everybody wants
maybe
to see
Saints
Jameis
fans
play.
Are, but I just want to see Jameis. He's
I
just
think
so
even
excited.
If you're a Saints fan, you still like, let us see Jameis once. You're going to win the division. Like,
you don't think Saints fans have this real strong connection with Taysom Hill?
No, not anymore.
I think it's
because Sean Payton's overused him, and it's like 3rd and 10, and he's on the field, just, and they
it's
punt
third
the ball.
And 10, and they take Breeze off. Yeah. That's gotta be frustrating. Yeah. But it's a nice story. He's older than Brock Osweiler, who's retired now. But up until this weekend, he had thrown less career passes than, I think it's Jake. Is it Lutton?
Luton?
The Jaguars.
The Jaguars QB.
Tremendous. We're bringing the term tremendous back. Their quarterback, who I don't think he's won a game yet. That says it all right there about the story of Taysom Hill. He's been this gadget guy for so long. And you know what? Credit to him, because he proved me wrong. He got the win when I thought Winston deserved the start. And the Saints are going to be rolling with him until Breeze comes back, mostly due to a cakewalk of a schedule. But
hey, play who's in front of you, right? He's laughing
at this
point.
Front of you. And All right, we talked about the NFC. We talked about the big boys in that division. Time to move over to the other conference where it's probably just as interesting in terms of a playoff race. And one team that's finding themselves just slipping out is last year's just the story darling. Of the year. The darling. That's the perfect word to describe it. And that's the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson once again throwing for less than 200 yards. Marquise Brown, zero catches. It's just not working at all. And the Titans prove once again that they're this team's kryptonite.
Do they make the playoffs?
As
bad as they've been, which they've been pretty bad. Do you know what their schedule is? Would you like me to read it out? I pulled it up just to make sure.
Well, I know they got the Steelers this week.
Okay, so they got the Steelers this week.
I'll say this before you read it out. They've played most of their hard games early on, and I know that because they played the Chiefs, they played the Titans, they played the Colts, they played the Steelers already once. So go.
Okay, ready? Here we go. Steelers. I think it's a winnable game. They outplayed them the first time. If COVID continues to take players off their team, okay, completely different situation. But okay, so let's say they lose to the Steelers. They're now 6-5. Okay. Now you look up and you have the Cowboys.
Yep.
Okay. You have the Browns in Cleveland. And then you got the Jaguars, Giants, and Bengals. There's two losses max the rest of the way.
When you're reading this out, I'm starting to think of, I'm not sure if you've seen this, you know, the comedian Frank Caliendo?
Yeah.
When he impersonates John Gruden reading the schedule and he just win. Yeah. That's what I'm starting to think of.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. They can go on a roll, but it's just like the magic's gone from last year.
Yeah. And they've lost so many close games though. It's not like they haven't looked terrible.
I agree. It's like our expectations are so high for them, but they don't look like a bad team.
No. And if they get ahead on you, you're not beating them. I still believe that. I still like the roster's stacked. Like, yeah, Lamar struggles with throwing, which is a little bit of a problem when you're the quarterback, but if you get ahead, they're fine. Yeah, you can do the job.
No, they're a good football team, and I'll stand by this. I know right now they're on the outside looking in, but I watched Cleveland play Pittsburgh, and it was this game where, oh, Cleveland's finally that real team. They're going to give Pittsburgh a challenge. Pittsburgh mopped the floor with Cleveland. It was not even close. And then I watched that same Pittsburgh team play Baltimore, and really, like you said,
they should have lost.
It came down to the final play. You talk about Lamar struggling to throw the ball. Big Ben struggled to pick up a first down.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I guess you got to take everything with a grain of salt almost, where 1 week doesn't determine your season.
It is week to week, yeah.
Yeah, but the Ravens are still a really good football team. And if they can figure things out on offense, they have a nice schedule coming forward. Lamar can get that confidence back. Maybe they can get in a bit of a groove. I honestly can't see them missing the playoffs.
I only think they're going to lose. I think they'll lose one game the rest of the way. I think they'll be 11-5. And that obviously gets you into the playoffs. Like,
I think this Thursday, it's going to be big for confidence for the team, because falling to 6-5 when you just came off a 14-2 season is a little bit tough.
And then you got to kind of win out to get to that 11.
If they win this week, 100% they make the playoffs. If they lose this week, I'm still really confident. They still play the Browns once or twice?
Two weeks from now.
I don't think they'll lose to the Browns. I'm still higher on this team than I am on the Browns.
The Browns, I guess we can move right into the Browns right now. 7-3? Are they the worst?
I don't think they're for the playoffs yet. I don't. Because I watched the Raiders on Sunday Night Football this week, and I thought to myself, wow, that's a good team. And so, we talked about how the Raiders are so weird. You don't know what to expect from them. I think they're starting to turn the corner.
Yeah. So are you kind of leaning towards Raiders, Ravens, and Dolphins? You think that's where the Browns will slide out?
Because I think you got to think about the loser of the AFC South, the Colts or the Titans.
Right.
I might put them in over.
That's true.
I'm starting to see the Dolphins again. the next 2 weeks, they've got Jets and the Bengals. Those are going to be telling games, not just if they win, but how they win. But they have things to figure out too. And what impressed me so much about Miami was their consistency. I watched Sunday a team that their oldest player, that's not Ryan Fitzpatrick, is 29 years old. So they don't have a lot of experience. I think playoffs is a big expectation to have for this team.
We just went through the remaining schedule, the Ravens. I just pulled up the Browns. Here's the thing with the Browns. They control their destiny 100%. They play the Titans. And if they beat the Titans, chances are that means the Titans are not going to win the division, which means now they're going to have the head-to-head over them in the wild card battle. And they also play the Ravens once more, as we just mentioned. I personally think they'll lose both those games.
Yeah, but I love how you're pulling out the schedules here, because we're at the point of the season where it doesn't matter who you think the better team is. It matters who these guys have on their schedule going forward. Like, that's a big, big part of it.
Yeah, and they still have the Steelers once more.
Yeah.
Then the rest of the schedule is soft. Jaguars, Giants, Jets.
They can march their way to 10-6, I think, easily. I don't know if 10-6 is going to necessarily get you in the playoffs this season. One game that I'm going to say right now, and Giants. I think you're going to like this, that Giants game.
They're going to lose.
I watch.
Let's call it now. That they're losing that game to the Giants. We're calling it now.
I'm calling. Yeah, I was a bit cautious. I was just sort of going to
call it. How many weeks in advance?
You got me fired up here.
A month in advance, we're calling the game. Doesn't even matter.
Back to this video. It doesn't matter.
As barring injuries.
I don't even know where the game is, but Giants upset.
It's in New York, so easy win.
Yeah, easy win. There it is. So that's our pick. Lock it in. The New York Giants to upset the Cleveland Browns. What did you say? It's in about a month. It's about week 15.
Four weeks from now.
I can't wait.
A lot can change, but not the fact that the Giants are still going to beat them.
Yeah. If the Giants lose the rest of the games, if Baker Mayfield rediscovers his Oklahoma form, and it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Sticking with the AFC. My apologies. Big, big game this week.
And biggest game of the week,
probably. Maybe you don't think it's a huge game because there's not a lot of star power, I guess you could say, within these two teams. But there are some solid, solid football teams. And that's the Colts and the Titans, both 7-3 records. They played 2 weeks ago, and the Colts really, really got the better of the Titans. I think they won by 2 touchdowns.
Titans came out, looked great, and then it just all fell apart from there.
Special teams. It was their punter. Their punter, I think, had a 17-yard punt, and then there was a blocked punt later. It was just a disaster on special teams, and that ultimately lost the Titans the game. But they're red hot right now. They're coming off a big win over the Ravens. Colts also coming off a big win, big comeback win even, over the Packers. This is going to really, really determine, like, if the Colts win again, and I think they're at home now too. The Titans are then looking at the wild card pretty much. And it's not even a guarantee they get into the wild card. Because if you go 0-2 to the Colts, you don't have the tiebreaker.
No.
So this is a really, really big game for
you. You're essentially two games behind them.
Yeah. Well, a game behind, because if you have the same record, like, you need a better record than them, and that's going to be hard. But yeah, well, yeah, I get because two games.
They got to leapfrog them, like, clear. Mm-hmm. They have to clear them by a game. Before we say who we think is going to win, whatever, I think we have to address the fact that we both kind of have hated on the Colts the whole year, I think.
Now that you said that, it's starting to jog the memory a little bit.
But give credit to us, because we're acknowledging it.
I think week 3, we did a pretender or contender, maybe week 3, week 4.
Something like that.
And we just ripped into Philip Rivers.
And then
not the Colts, Philip Rivers. And I still,
fair,
like,
yes, fair.
I Philip still Rivers. Honestly, in my heart of hearts, believe what I said is a little bit true, because sometimes this guy gets on the field and he looks like prime Peyton Manning, and sometimes he gets on the field and he looks like
Philip Rivers.
Yeah, Philip Rivers.
But you're also forgetting about the other episode we trashed them, the election episode. We both voted Titans.
Oh, and they lost.
Yes, we both said Titans, and we were both, very confident.
Like 2 days later, they lost.
Yeah. We're very confident the Titans are, like, the Colts, kind of frauds, and they just keep proving us wrong.
Not to throw more work on the plate of producer Paulo for us, but I really think we should get him to put together like
a little worst, montage,
the yeah. worst of From the Nosebleeds. And it could just be like almost like a little resume for us to just hand out. Like, these are the worst football takes that we had this season.
Shows that we're big people willing to admit that we made mistakes.
I'm trying to think of other ones that we've done that are just really, really bad.
Well, I think one of the all timers is at the beginning of last year, like one of the very first podcasts we did, I said, I hate the Titans because they're a team that will maybe make the playoffs and never win a playoff game.
Okay. But to be fair, they had Marcus Mariota at quarterback. They started off 2-4.
I didn't know.
They lost to the Broncos like 16-12. Like that.
Yeah.
That was their bread and butter, those 16-12 games. Just boring.
Yeah. And then sometimes Mariota would go off and people like, that's why he's better than Jameis. What a disaster that turned out to be. You do a whole episode on next 1-2.
Redrafting. I think that was 2012. Redrafting the 20 or maybe 2013. The 2013 NFL.
They both
draft.
Go undrafted.
Yeah. Jameis
Titans. Colts week. Titans. I mean, I have to take the Colts.
I have to take the Colts too, and now the Titans are going to win.
Now the Titans
because are going
to win. So this. Titans fans, thank you. You can thank us later. The Colts have just looked like the better team, especially the past couple of weeks, and they beat them, so fair enough. But also, the Titans didn't look fantastic against the Ravens. They looked fine. Derrick Henry struggled for...
That's every game with that guy. He gets better as the game goes on.
And then overtime.
By the fourth quarter, when those defensive backs are tired, he just picks him up. You know that scene in The Blind Side where he picks up the guy and says, you have to go home. I sent him to the bus. That's what he does.
Yeah. And it's even more so in overtime, the fifth quarter.
Like, you didn't need to do that. You could have pulled a Nick Chubb, gone out of bounds, and kicked the field goal
Unsportsmanlike by Derrick Henry.
Come on. Nobody gets touchdowns in overtime nowadays.
You can't. Gostkowski, you can't trust him. 19-yarder, he'll shank it
left. If it was from 50, I'd say, like,
money.
He should have lost yards on that carry, so Gostkowski could have hit a 50-yarder.
Run it back 5 yards.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'll go with the Colts. They also have Michael Pittman Jr. back, so I believe he's a junior. Is he a junior?
Yeah, I think it's – his dad played in the NFL, I think, for the Bucks. So – Yeah, he's been a nice, I think, an underrated rookie. Him and T. Higgins this season have been like really good, I think, but for some reason haven't been getting the hype of a Justin Jefferson,
Cincinnati, Indianapolis.
I guess that plays a big role.
Yeah.
And of course, we haven't mentioned him yet. I think this is a record. I don't know how many minutes we're in, but Chase Claypool, first mention of the show today. You know what? I'm picking the Titans.
You're dying on the hill of the Colts.
I am.
Colts are frauds.
No, I don't think the Colts are frauds. I think they're a good team, but they already lost to the Colts, and that wasn't 8 weeks ago. That wasn't 9 weeks ago. That was 2 weeks ago. They have to have learned from their mistakes. They know how big this game is for them. I'm taking Derrick Henry. I'm taking the star of the Titans over the star of the Colts. Offense, who I guess is Phillip Rivers.
You know, Quentin Nelson.
Probably. I'm going to pick the Titans. Give me A.J. Brown. Give me Derrick Henry. Give me, Ryan Tannehill. I think it's going to be a really close game. Hopefully it is a closer game than last time out. And a guy that I'm high on, and I just traded for him in fantasy. I know that's irrelevant now because season's over, but Nyheim Hines. I think this kid has some potential in him, and I like that backfield that they're forming.
Too bad it's not a dynasty league. You have him next year and the year after.
Exactly.
That,
but what are you going to do? No, I think both of these teams. All joking aside, you're saying I'm calling the Colts frauds. I think both of these teams are really good football teams and more complete teams to get into the playoffs over the aforementioned Cleveland Browns, who I still will not buy any stock into, but should be a good one. I'm picking the Titans.
You're
also
not
a little bit just to go against
win.
You.
You're not shocked if either of them win a playoff game or this game for that matter. And just so you know, Colts fans, I'd be nice. I've said you're going to win, but your season will end on a Phillip Rivers interception. I don't know if it's in the 100%. Super Bowl. I don't know if it's in the AFC Championship. I don't know if it's in the wild card. I don't know if it's in the divisional. I don't even know if it's in week 17 to make the playoffs, but it will end on a Phillip Rivers interception.
I love the constant addressing of like Colts fans.
Yes.
While we got producer Paulo sitting in this call, just listening.
He's an Notre Dame fan. He's not a Colts fan.
Even though he's a Colts fan, but like you said, he's a Notre Dame fan and he is in the middle of converting to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, he's a,
just because of, once again, Chase Claypool.
Chase Claypool for Paulo is going to be like the LeBron for NBA fans. Like, he's just going to follow him.
when people ask you what's your team, there's a good percentage of NBA fans that will say, I'm a LeBron fan.
Yes.
But there's only one man who will tell you his NFL team. I'm a Chase Claypool fan. We have a privilege of him, having him in the call right now.
Sharing a Zoom call with him every week.
All righty.
It's time for everyone's favorite.
Except, you know what? Everyone's favorite except for me, because I'm starting to hate this segment. Because the past 2 weeks, I've taken a beating and it's just been embarrassing. I went 1-2 again last week. I think you also went 1-2. So yeah, perfect Burrow opportunity went, for me to capitalize.
We both had bad breaks in both of our. Burrow went out in mine, which killed Cincinnati's chance. The Chargers just blew it late. I should have went 2-1 at least.
But also Chargers bad breaks. Late. The one win that I had, I picked the Saints -5 because of Jameis Winston. When they announced Taysom Hill was starting, I really contemplated begging you to give me a different pick because I had zero confidence that was covering. I thought I was going to be 2-1 with the Dolphins and the Packers, and I thought Hill would let me down. Turns out it was the exact opposite. Just goes to show that I know nothing. So all of my predictions from this podcast will probably end up being wrong. But
what's your overall record now? I think I'm
500.
So I'm 13-8.
That just shows you I've lost the passion. I don't even know what my record is. I'm just picking off of just show me the games. All
just disgust.
I'll circle a couple. I think you have the first pick this week.
I think so. I think it is me.
All right, go for it.
I'm looking at the games, always fresh. I was going to take the Dolphins, but I feel I can't do that. Because they're your team, and I don't want to disrespect that. So
I would never even think about taking the Lions. So I guess that kind of gives me an advantage.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, but I'll take the Giants -6 against the Joe Burrow-less Bengals.
You and your Giants. I actually really like that pick.
That's, Daniel Jones. There you go. Six points.
I really like that pick.
Yeah, that line I think will move.
You think it'll get bigger?
Get bigger, yes.
With the Giants, really?
Yeah, no Burrow. You saw what they're... Okay, first of all, their offense couldn't do anything against the Washington defense. And I think the Giants defense is better than... The Washington defense is still good, but I think they're better than Washington's.
I trust the Giants to pick up the win here. The one thing I can't envision is the Giants putting up a lot of points. I don't know if they've cracked. I think they did this season against the Cowboys, now that I say that. They put up 30 points in that game, but I just can't see them going out there and really lighting up the scoreboard. I think they do have a really good shot.
10-3 final score. 10-3.
10-3.
And they cover. And they cover.
Oh, boy. Let's see. I'm going to take the Cardinals -2.
Oh, yeah.
Over the Pats, because Cardinals have a little bit more time to prepare for this game. I know it's on the road, but I don't know. These Pats are a weird team, but I'm gonna take. I see this as a bit of a risk, but I've liked how the Cardinals have done for me recently. They disappointed me a couple times at the beginning of the year, but I like them here -2. Kyler Murray, let's go.
I'll take the Ravens +4 against the Steelers. Here's why: that -4, I think that's Vegas begging people to bet the Steelers. They want people to bet on the Steelers. I think it's just. People are going to look at it 6-4, 10-0. How is this only -4? You'd think it'd be like 6. But that's what Vegas wants you to think. So I'll do the opposite. I'll take the Ravens +4.
So your strategy is just going against whatever.
I've been doing that the last couple of weeks and it's been working. You don't look at so much the team. You just look at it. That's a weird line. It's whatever line seems too easy, bet the opposite.
For reference, I mentioned earlier that Paulo needs to put together that horrible takes tape. Do you remember, I think it was week five, Packers versus Bucks. And I said, this is free money.
Yeah.
So that game,
that was the point.
That was a loss. This week, or last week, sorry, Dolphins versus Broncos, 90% of people took the Dolphins, 90% of bettors. That's terrible for Vegas. They always want to keep it at that 50-50. That's how they always win. The Dolphins lost. So, you know what? With that being said, Finn's at 7 on the road against the Jets. Bounce back game for Tua. His first game with a really, really eye-popping stat line. Lock it in. That's pick number 2.
The Dolphins.
Yeah, just Dolphins minus 7 over the Jets.
All right. Final pick. Tie in the whole show. Nice. I'll take the Rams minus 7 against the 49ers. I know it's a divisional game and the Rams are on a short week, but the 49ers are just so banged up that they're just a shell of who they really are. I think the Rams handle them easily.
49ers coming off bye, though, really. Even though they beat the Rams.
Are they coming off bye with Garoppolo and Kittle?
No, they aren't.
Then there you go. They're coming off a bye with Nick Mullins. Okay. And nobody on offense. So,
all right. I only feel that it's right. Ooh, there's two that I like. There's two that I'm starting to like.
Let me guess.
I always have to say, when there's two that I like, I always have to say them just so that I can.
You love the Browns.
No. I will never touch those Browns. If anything, I thought about.
Oh, you love the Raiders.
I thought about picking the Jaguars. Yes. Raiders minus 3.
Yeah.
And the Colts. Sorry, the Titans plus 3.5. Just because I have to stick with my takes of earlier.
Also, 3.5 is a decent number. Like, they can lose. Like, you know what I mean? You see a last second field goal. Yeah.
Or the Raiders minus 3. Like, I just can't see the Falcons.
That Raiders number is what I just described about why I'm taking the Ravens.
So you want me to take the Falcons here?
I'm not saying I want you to. By that logic. Actually, I want you to take the Raiders. Because it makes no sense.
Okay, I can't back down from a fight. So I'm going to take the Raiders minus 3. Okay. Even though I really want to. If there were a 4-pick week, I'd be slamming that 3.5 for the Titans. But you know what? It is 3.5, but I could also see the Colts winning by a touchdown or the Titans winning by a touchdown, where I think this Raiders is more of the free money that you're talking about, where it's like, they got to win this game. So that'll probably be a loss, and I'll definitely regret it later, but give me the Raiders minus 3.
It's a huge game for the Raiders. Like, now if they're 6-4, but if they lose, it's like, you know, you're a good team, but if your record doesn't show it, you're not going to make the playoffs. So
100%. So it is kind of must win. They got to keep pace with the other teams, especially when the Browns got this cakewalk of a schedule playing the Jaguars this week. Give me a break with these Brownies already.
I hope they make the playoffs. The Browns will lose. If they make the playoffs, they'll lose by a bigger margin than the NFC East team.
That's the new take. They're already going to lose to the Giants in a couple weeks' time. So that'll be tough for them to even get into the playoffs. And any last words to add in before we wrap up this Red Picks?
Any last words? Browns are frauds.
I don't think I need to say that because I've practically been talking about that for the entire episode.
Also, quickly, Cam Newton, if you dress like that pregame, you got to win the game.
I didn't see what he dressed.
Oh, wow.
How he showed up last week.
The audience knows.
I think we're going to see some pretty good Turkey Day, like turkey-inspired outfits this week because it's Thanksgiving.
Who's going to have the booze? Okay, ready? This is one last trivia question. I'll make a guess too. Whose Thanksgiving outfit will be all over social media?
Do they have to be playing on the Thursday or can it just be from the whole week?
Anybody. It could be anybody.
Thanksgiving outfit.
This is really random. I don't even know if players really get, like Cam does because it's ridiculous sometimes, but I don't even know.
I'm going to say this week, Baker Mayfield pulls out something.
Yeah, that's a good pick because he's getting confident. Eh?
Yeah, exactly. Like woke up feeling dangerous.
Yeah,
like,
He's beginning to feel dangerous. Philip Rivers. I'm gonna pick Philip Rivers. I think he walks in.
I think he shows up with all his kids. Like,
They still got the
napkins in their neck off of Thanksgiving dinner.
The family event. Yeah,
that could be good.
And the turkey legs. One last trivia question: who gets the turkey leg in the Washington Dallas game?
Okay, all three games will do the turkey leg.
Okay, all three games. Yeah, let's go.
Okay, Houston versus Detroit. I'm gonna give the turkey leg to, if he's back, DeAndre Swift. I don't know if. I don't know his situation. Oh, I know okay. He missed last week, but if he's back, I'm going to give it to DeAndre Swift.
Okay, I think Houston's going to win, so I'll go Deshaun Watt. I think he's going to tear him
easy, like boring, easy pick.
All right, no,
Washington,
fine.
Washington. Okay, Washington versus Dallas.
Washington versus Dallas. I think it's Amari Cooper Sunday. I think Amari Dallas Cooper. Wins, and I think CeeDee had all the shine last week. This week, it'll be Amari Cooper.
I think it's going to be Zeke, just because that classic feed Zeke. Like, even if he doesn't have a good game, they just have to give it to him. So Zeke gets the turkey leg in that
42 one. Yards and 16 carries, turkey leg.
And then Ravens Steelers.
Well, I got to go with my spread pick, so I'll pick somebody on the Ravens. It'll be Calais Campbell.
Is he even back? I know he was injured.
Oh, is he not back? Oh no, this is devastating. I thought he was back. Who should I pick then? Dez boring, Bryant.
Mark Andrews.
Dez Bryant.
That's a good
Dez pick. Bryant. He scores a game-winning touchdown.
Okay, I kind of want to say Claypool, but it's just we're just
they can't give it to him. He's Canadian. Claypool.
Yeah, that's true. Didn't he celebrate?
It's the Canadian bias. Yeah, no, they won't give it to him.
Okay, T.J. Watt. Show some defense, some love. TJ Watt gets a turkey leg.
You know what? You could see it happening, and there's two photos, and JJ gets it in the Houston game.
Yeah.
And you know, they put it up.
Nice. And then Derek Watt is just so lonely as the Steelers fullback. Yeah. Just no love, no turkey for him.
It's gotta be the least. He's gotta be the most disliked kid in the nation. Like, come on, what are you doing? Your brothers are Pro Bowl. There's probably one's a Hall of Famer. One's on his way, basically. Like,
I just think fullbacks need so much more love.
Yeah, it's
from,
not
from
fair.
A media standpoint. It is not fair. Next episode, we might do a top 32 fullbacks edition. Every team has a fullback, but
this is what a all over the place ending. But who's QB 32?
This week's QB 32.
Yeah.
Oh man,
it could be Tua.
No, come on. No, Matthew Stafford, 0 points.
Oh, no, you're right.
Inexcusable. Yeah. 0 points. QB 32 is Matthew Stafford.
Carolina had an undefeated quarterback. Come on.
That's true. 5-0 in the XFL, 1-0 in the NFL now. Perfect way to end it off by referencing the XFL.
Everybody's favorite football league.
That's going to do it for today's episode. If you made it to the end, we apologize for that.
I don't know how
just of a disaster ending.
Yeah, I don't know how you got through this last 5 minutes.
But no, thank you for tuning in. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at From the Nosebleeds Pod. And that's going to do it. We'll see you next week.
Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. And then happy Thanksgiving to all the Canadians out there, too.